Hey, hello and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Alif Infe, my podcast. I am Alif and today we are going to cover the whole month of September. Everything in pop culture and in between, okay? Okay, since there are many subjects, I want to, you know, categorize them in adaptation, continuation, games, and movies. I want to round them up a bit because usually I just go, you know, alphabetically, but now I want to try something different so you can actually follow, just not, you know, just jumping from random topic to another. Okay, since the rain is just about done, I think. Okay, let's start with adaptation. Let's start with the biggest one, I think, for me, is the news of a live action adaptation of what can you guess? Live action adaptation of Lilo and Stitch by Disney, of course. Okay, it's quite unique actually. Yeah, since Disney, you know, in the mood of doing all this live action adaptation, I think it's only time until Lilo and Stitch is getting the same treatment here. Since we are getting, you know, Dumbo next year, and Lion King as well. Now we're going to have Lilo and Stitch. It's in the work. It's in, you know, early production, I think. Yeah, but looking at when it was released, the movie, when it was first released, the box office, you know, doesn't look, you know, as, you know, how can I say it? You know, as popular as other Disney movies, but after times, like, it's getting, you know, fan favorites, it's being, you know, being talked, you know, even without any commercial success as much as they hope for. It still got some, you know, direct to video sequels and an animated series as usual for Disney. But now the main thing here is how Stitch is going to be adapted. It's going to be quite unique because it's in its original form. In its cartoonized version, it looks, you know, quite cute, right? Even when it's going all animalistic, right? It still looks quite cute. But now, how, you know, is it going to look when it's being adapted into a, you know, it is going to be CGI creation, but still it's going to look really lifelike. You know, just like, you know, Dumbo, you've seen the first teaser, looks just like the real thing. And now, how far is it going to go? Is it going to look really alien, or is it going to look more closely to a dog or something? That's going to be the main thing. The same people that are behind Aladdin is going to be behind this as well, so we'll see. I'll let you guys, I'll keep you guys posted when there is an official look of Stitch itself. So if it's going to be set in Hawaii, then they be included, you know, more minority characters, more live action characters, so that's good. More representation, that's all. I'm all for that. So it's a good move for them, I think. But that's the main thing, like, to cover stage first, how they're going to adapt it, what kind of approach they're going to go with it. So we'll see. Okay, moving on to the next one. There is a rumor of the Barbie movie. It's going to have Margot Robbie, you know, of Suicide Squad, Harley Quinn film. It's going to be starring in the Barbie movie with Wonder Woman director Patty Jenkins in the talks. This all like I said, is reported. It's not officially confirmed, but there is a rumor. There is some talks between them. So, following up on what I reported in my previous podcast. So, with Mattel having its own movie division, then I think this is going to be their next one. They're going to move on because it's been too long of a wait for the project to be keep on stalling. Then if they have some talks, maybe they're going to move on next. Then I think this is going to be a straightforward thing, just like maybe like an Enchanted, whereby the main character is being brought into real life. And Enchanted is a fairy tale character, and Amy Adams, right? And now, probably Margot Robbie is going to be a Barbie doll being brought into life. Then seeing how her perception of life is going to be different from real life. So maybe that's going to be it. When at one point having Amy Schumer, that one is a bit different. Then with Margot Robbie possibly starring, then it's going to be like more straightforward. Yeah, there's some possibility there of having this project being a successful one. But it is still, there are always a lot of rumors. I'm just trying to pick and choose which one is the most interesting one, which one is going to be more widely known. Barbies, maybe possibly all girls know of the name, if not having even one of the dolls, right? So we'll see where Mattel's first project is going to be. Probably Barbie. I'll keep you posted. Okay, let's move on to the next one. An adaptation. Okay, maybe some diehard DC fans, now probably psyched about this news, but we are going to have our first live action adaptation of Lobo, the famed DC outdoor space rider. It's going to be played by Emmett J. Scanlon of, where is he from? From Guardians of the Galaxy and Constantine as well. So he's going to be playing that character in the second season of Krypton. That's like Krypton, when you heard about it, it's like having a story based on the grandparents of Superman. It's like, who cares, right? Maybe that's the first point, like the first viewpoint, because what makes Superman interesting is Superman himself. But after I saw the series myself, I kind of like, I was being proven wrong, because it's really interesting. The storyline is moving quite really fast pace, with Brainiac trying to get hold of Krypton. So that storyline even keep on going for the next season. So I'm looking forward to that. And now having Lobo as well, I'm looking forward where are they going with it. So it is quite interesting. Maybe not what people, not what the diehard fans want. They think, maybe think that maybe they should have Lobo in the in its own movie, but maybe they just testing their waters, probably just give him a first adaptation, trying the test water in the, you know, small screen first. If you seen the picture, if you go to the link we have posted in the housekeeping even, or in the post, you know, on my blog, then you're going to look, you know, it looks, you know, if you compare it with the original comic counterpart, it looks quite decent actually, because you have that white skin, right? This being white, you know, white grey skin, and with the hair, everything, with the biker look, something, I think it looks quite the part actually. Maybe people always say that they should have Jason Momoa playing the character. Yeah, I don't think I can fight with that, because it looks just like Jason Momoa. But still, done is done. Then I'm looking forward to see where Krypton season 2 is going to go. Even we having this character as well, it's going to be complicating things further for the main characters. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, moving on to another adaptation that not many people are looking forward to, just because how tricky it is going to be. This is official. It's been confirmed by Capcom themselves. They are going to be making a live action adaptation of Mega Man. Do you know Mega Man? No, the one with the, what is it? The one with the blue suit, everything, and have the blaster hand on his right hand, the blaster hand. I think you know. If you don't remember, I think you know that. Maybe you've seen the character. So it is going to be titled Mega Man. It's going to be penned and directed by Henry Juice and Ariel Schulman, S-C-H-U-L, Schulman, of Paranormal Activity 3 and 4 fame. Yeah, the movie is quite good actually. The story itself, as well, they also made the 2016 Nerve with Dev Franco, that one. Okay, will be distributed by 20th Century Fox. Was going to have actor Masioka, who played Hiro Nakamura for the, you know, the superhero show Heroes of the NBC, that saved the cheerleader, that one, the Japanese character. It's going to be included as well. It's going to play a part, I think. I'm not sure yet. Oh yeah, they try to cater to a diverse audience without alienating the fans of the games. Sure, that's just me, you know, just typical things, typical things to see, right? Still, you know, doesn't look whether it is a good idea or not. Because of the Resident Evil movies, they just partner up with some Resident Evil movies certainly doesn't live up to their game. So I'm not sure where they going to go with this. Are they going to edge him up or just, you know, have a kid character playing the main character. It still remains to be seen. I just hope. I'm hoping because it just Mega Man 11 just released just a few days ago, so we're going to see where they're going to go with this. This one, I'm not sure. Not sure where they're going to go with this. What do you guys think? Is it going to be an effective adaptation? How is it going to look in live action? I cannot wait to see. Well, speaking of which, another property of Capcom is going to be adapted. It is going to be Monster Hunter, and I love that that universe having a lot of monster to hunt. That game, I haven't played it myself, but I love how the universe is being portrayed, is being played, right? Hunting hunters, then put using their skulls and their skins and making into their own armors and weapons, and then start going against bigger and better monsters. Yeah, it is quite a straightforward premise, right? I love the premise, but I'm not sure the team behind the movie, who they choose to go with. It's been officially announced by Capcom themselves as well. It is going to be produced by Constantine Film. It's going to start filming actually by the end of this October in Namibia and South Africa. So at least that setting, the jungle setting, and maybe the vast plain fields, is going to be taken care of there. And now the tricky news is that they are going to renew their collaboration with Paul W.S. Anderson. You might not know the name, but you might know the series of movies that he makes, which is Resident Evil and even the Mortal Kombat the 1995 one. And he's also going to pen the script for this movie, for the Monster Hunter adaptation. Okay, the name of the directors is going to be in it is going to be Mila Jovovich, Ron Perlman, Diego Boneta, and rapper T.I. Harris. So Mila Jovovich is going to be in it as well. As you know, she plays the main character of the whole Resident Evil series or a movie series. So this is going to be more recognized, I think, this adaptation. I'm not sure about the original premise, whether they have Japanese characters or just Caucasian. Doesn't look like one way or another, I'm not sure yet, but depends on the name of the characters, depends on the names of the actors they having. They already have attached to the project. I think they are leaning to more, more recognized. Since it is a really, such a also a really popular third person action game with Monster Hunter World, the latest one. So like 10 million units worldwide, so they have an established name, they can go the brand. So with the the movie is going to be, you know, going to live up to that. We'll see, but I'm not sure with the names attached to the project. Still, I'm being more wary than usual. There are a lot of projects, a lot of adaptation. Whether they're going to be successful or not, only time will tell. Okay, we finish with adaptation, and we'll move on to, what did I say just before? Continuation, and we start with a spin-off of the really popular The Fast and the Furious series. This is going to be a spin-off, so we're going to take a break from the series. You know, the last time The Furious 8, so now they are filming the spin-off with the character played by Dwayne Johnson and I cannot remember the name, Jason Statham. Okay, I need to say it anyway, so I remember. So the title is going to be the name of the characters, Hobbs and Shaw. So after you see how their relationship develop in their love-hate relationship, not knowing relationship or not, just love-hate relationship, blossom in the last Furious 8. So they're going to make spin-off. Just they release a first look of them together in the same scene, just looking longingly into each other's eyes with a scowl on their faces. So this is just the first week actually. Yeah, they are one of the, you know, one of the shining things, one of the main jewels of The Last Furious 8. So we're going to see how the movie is going to be with the focus only on them. You know, the the Fast and Furious universe has developed so much actually, so now not even about cars anymore, it's more like, I don't know, global crisis, something it's going to be resolved with cars. So I'm looking forward to see what are they going to do. The movie is going to open next year, July 26th, so we'll see. Okay, where was I? I had to go out a bit just now. So I'm back. Yeah, about Hobbs and Shaw, right? So I'm looking forward to it actually. Yeah, I think they're going to forgo all the casting and just straight into action, because when they actually, you know, in the prison break scene in the Furious 8 before, that was one of the highlights of the film. Just love to see them actually just beat each other. I'm looking forward to it. So okay, from a spin-off to a continuation of a different kind. So, you know, how many of you have watched Rambo? The first one, or the third, or the fourth, the second? I have to admit that I haven't watched it actually, but I know where he is. What his status is in the pop culture as Rambo, as the one man killing machine. So Sylvester Stallone actually is back, and they are actually filming for Rambo 5. It is actually just started filming, so it is a bit of a departure. It has to be, because it's aging rapidly. Sylvester Stallone. He looks really different actually. You've seen the picture, the official first picture of him. But if you... I'm going to tell you the plot, I think it's going to make sense. The plot is, for this fifth installment is... it's going to find the aging warrior working as a rancher in Arizona. And he's forced to take arms yet again when the granddaughter of a family friend goes missing in Mexico. So he is a rancher, hence the cowboys, the cowboy hat and chaps, and he's going to go to Mexico. So he's going to cross the border. He's going to save a family friend's granddaughter. I think it's going to tie in into the previous storyline, because it is going to carry the number 5. You know, it's going to carry the title, right? So, at least it's going to tie in into some of the storylines. Maybe an old friend or something, because yes, you see, he did mention a family friend. So if you're familiar with the franchise, I think maybe you can guess which one is it. I don't know, but maybe you can tell me. I'm not sure. It is going to be directed by Adrian Grunberg from Greg the Gringo. The one with... who is that one? Mel Gibson, yeah. That one. And it's going to drop sometime next fall. Okay. Regarding, you know, the return of a 90s action movie star returning yet again, it's only another person actually. It is in Arnold Schwarzenegger. It is going to return, I have no idea yet, for the Conan. That one is also a bit stalling the project. And even, who is it, Harrison Ford, he is finished with Star Wars, then he's going to carry on with Indiana Jones. So he's also going to return, he's going to start shooting possibly 2019, next year, probably. But they are all aging away. It is going to be their last chance to actually finish their movie career on a high note. Maybe at least have a proper ending for their character. The character that has defined them before. With Arnold Schwarzenegger, Terminator movie, possibly. I think it's going to return or not for the next Terminator one, not sure yet. And that one I think is with Tim Miller, I'm not sure. I think so, the director of the first Deadpool. But the Conan, not sure yet. And this one, Sylvester Stallone is going to, at least Rambo, also one of the franchise that made him famous. So he's going to at least have a maybe proper ending. Not sure yet. Because he did actually pass the baton for Rocky to Creed. So even maybe possibly he's going to have another baton to be passed, possibly. Not sure yet. No, whether or not it's going to, you know, maybe have the same energy or not. Maybe he won't, but at least he can actually portray the character properly. At least for the last time. No, I can look forward to it, because Get the Gringo is just a solid film. Maybe even having the same person helming this project, it is in good hands. At least I hope. We'll see. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Okay, from an action franchise having a second life possibly to a sci-fi franchise that's been recently revitalized, having its fair share of controversy, and now, despite all of those, we are finally going to get the first live action series for Star Wars, which is going to be showrun by Jon Favreau of The Jungle Book and the upcoming Lion King film, and the first side Iron Man actually. Yeah, that's what he is maybe possibly most well known for. So the production is now on the way for the first Star Wars live action streaming series. Yes, this is going to be exclusively for Disney Play. So the the storyline is going to be the title is The Mandalorian. It is going to set after the fall of the Empire and before the emergence of the First Order. We follow the travails of a lone gunfighter and the outer reaches of the galaxy far from the authority of the New Republic. Okay, it's going to be written and executive produced by, you know, Jon Favreau, and with a number of high profile Disney directors in. Okay, we're going to have Dave Filoni of Star Wars, you know, Star Wars Clone Wars and Rebels. He's going to direct the first episode, and additional episodes are going to be directed by Deborah Chow from Jessica Jones, Rick Famuyiwa from Dope, and Bryce Dallas Howard from Soulmates, and Taika Waititi from, of course, Thor Ragnarok. It is going to be interesting to see. Wow. And that's it. That's the official first image and what's been revealed. This first information. If you've seen the first image, you can see the Mandalorian armor. But it's just a person, not sure who is it yet. It is going to be from Boba Fett or Jango Fett. Who knows? But it is an interesting first image. It is ended for the storyline itself. It is going to be one of the intriguing places that they can go for the first live action series. There are so many speculation of where they can go, having the devil in Mandalorian. It is going to be interesting because it is a fan favorite characters, whether they are going to contribution to the films and justified for their popularity or not, that one can be debated, but they can go somewhere, they can go a lot of ways with this, and where it is taken place after, I believe it is after the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, after the 6th film, just before the 7th, the reboot, not the reboot, the continuation for The Force Awakens. So it is just starting shooting, so it just released a first image just to let us know where they're going to go. It is going to get the Star Wars fan base. It's going to be buzzing with Simon for this one, I'm sure. Okay, let's move on to the last one. the last continuation. Quite actually, a surprising continuation. Speaking of that, that Australian, he's Australian, right? Or is it? Is he New Zealand? Is he from New Zealand or Australia? I'm not sure. Well, what I mentioned before, Taika Waititi. Speaking of him, there are some new info for the television spin-off of his mockumentary vampire film, What We Do in the Shadows. If you do not know, it is going to have two spin-off series. One's going to be set, where is it actually, where it's going to be set in Staten Island, just like the film was set in Wellington, New Zealand, and it's going to be the American series is going to be set in Staten Island. So they can play with a lot of the American, you know, influences. They're going to introduce a lot of new things, like I mentioned here, energy vampire, a new kind of vampire, and even a new female vampire, Nadja, named after the title vampire in the 1994 Michael Almereyda movie, Nadja. So he likes to play this kind of stuff. And now, like I mentioned, it is going to be set in the same universe. It's going to have its own, like Taika mentioned jokingly, he's going to have his own cinematic universe. The Wellington Paranormal, the one is the New Zealand spin-off. I didn't read much about it, but I think it's going to play off more from the original film. While this one is American spin-off, it's going to play a little bit looser, but still have a lot of influence from the director and Jermaine Clement. If you haven't watched the film, try and find it and straight away watch it. What We Do in the Shadows. That is a mockumentary film of a documentary. A human living with a lot of vampires and see how they live. It's quite really fun actually. That's them speaking to the camera, can see how they play, when they encounter werewolf. What are we? Werewolf, not werewolf. that scene in the film. There's a lot of scene, just like in Thor Ragnarok. Taika has quite a unique humor, maybe New Zealand humor, that actually transfer quite well into Thor Ragnarok. So I'm looking forward to see how this What We Do in the Shadows is going to be, the television series. Mentioned here in the article in Nerdist, they have seen the first pilot. This is going to be the laugh out loud one. So I'm looking forward to see it. They have seen it in the New York Comic Con. They've given them a sneak peek of the pilot. So I'm looking forward to see how it is actually. You just get some information, and I want to see like official still is going to be in it. So I'm looking forward to that. And there's nothing else actually. Where is it going to be? What channel? No, nothing here yet, so. Oh yeah, it is on FX, so. Oh, that's going to be unique. In the home of, you know, Legion. Also have the same kind of humor, if you can say that, so. Looking forward to that. Okay. We are in third act. We are finished with continuation, so we're going to touch on a number of games. There are three topics here. First, there's been a leak of a Harry Potter open world action RPG. There's a game, not sure yet from whom, but it is a focus test video that has been leaked. By whom, you know, we do not know yet, but it is a sneak peek of how a game of a third person action RPG, you can create your own character. You're going to play in the universe made by J.K. Rowling. Okay, there have been many tie-in games of Harry Potter for the films, but this one I want to highlight it because it is a possibility of us fans of the original books and films to create our own character and play in the universe by ourselves, not play as Harry Potter or Hermione, you know, or who's that? Ginny? No. Ron Weasley, I'm sorry, I apologize. Sometimes, yes, names keep on escaping my mind. Because of the universe has been so well, so wonderfully crafted by J.K. Rowling, having your own character to play in it, it's going to be much more, it's a new different experience. Not just a tie-in game, but you can actually play it. So, there is some information about the game. Whether or not this one is real or not, I'm just starting because I'm actually excited. If it is real, I want it to be so. So it's going to set in the 19th century, in the 80s, in the 1800s, Wizarding World. So you're going to person, yeah, third person, another RPG. Okay, you earn a late sentence to Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. You are newly arrived 5th year student, so you're not going to start from the low rank. You're going to almost at the end there. So, Latin, you are in because you demonstrate a latent gift for magic, a unique ability to track and identify remnants of a potent ancient power. Yeah. Kind of familiar with Harry Potter there. Yeah, upon arrival, strange events begin to materialize, yeah, sure, in the Forbidden Forest. Okay, even within the castle wall. Okay. We're together with Professor Eliza Fig. I'm not sure whether that character is in the original books or not. For you, do you know? If you are a hardcore reader, do you remember that name, Professor Eliza Fig? So you go with that professor, you embark on a journey through both familiar and never before seen location. So, well, that's going to be interesting. Trooping to light the truth behind these mysterious occurrences. And also, you can craft potions, master spells, discover fantastical beasts. Yeah, tie in there. You will battle dark wizards, goblins, other supernatural enemies. Uncover the truth about your destiny. The fate of the Wizarding World lies in your hands. Yeah, that's a bit. That's all about destiny, right? Can you just be a normal person? Yeah, just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Always have some destiny. It's your fate in your destiny. Yeah, that's actually normal for this, you know, fantastical setting. Okay, there's some key features here. You can journey to Hogwarts to become one of 8 different wizard types. So they're going to have some types there. Not sure how is it going to tie in with the houses. Yeah, maybe each house have 2 different types, probably. Let's see. We're going to explain Hogwarts, make new friends, cover new secrets, and change the fate. Yeah. Okay. Experience a new magic system. Okay. Create countless possibilities to master magic. Okay. You can freely explore the wizarding world for the first time. So this is the main thing, the most intriguing aspect. Like I mentioned before, it's going to be an open world. So if it stays true to that title, is it going to be like a AAA game, like, you know, GTA, Grand Theft Auto? Is it going to be that big? Maybe not, because the castle, right? So, but is it going to have, you know, that same scale? Is it, you can just go anywhere in the castle, in the forest, you know, the surrounding places. Can you do that? If you can, just like GTA, this is going to be one heck of a game. Okay, you can choose your house, okay, and friends. Okay, you can decide to pursue paths of good or evil. That is just like the, just like Harry Potter, right? Okay, finally you can create your own witch or wizard. Okay, experience all new stories separate from the books or films. Okay, that's another big thing here. It will be separate adventure. It may not be canonical to the, you know, to the Harry Potter history, but you can just freely play in that setting, right? You play in the 1800, so I'm looking forward to see that. It's like here, there's an article said in Eurogamer, said the game is real, but it's not developed by Rocksteady, so we still do not know who made it. There's no mention in the leak gameplay video, the test video. But if you've seen the test video, it looks like it's going to actually, you know, live up to that title, the open world action RPG. Looks really awesome. Just like in GTA. And that's like a magical GTA. I will keep you posted when we actually know who made it, when it is officially revealed by the developer, and when is it going to come out. It has to come out, right? I don't want to be another telltale story here. Okay, speaking of which, okay, if you do not know, I've mentioned before in my previous podcast, that's the last one, when Telltale Games shutting down because of financial issues. So since they laid off a lot of their employees without any severance pay, it's really unfortunate. And with the Walking Dead, Telltale's The Walking Dead, the final season, being released, the last season, the first and the second episodes almost out. I think the second episode almost out already, and with the final season still in limbo, whether it's going to be finished or not. There's an official statement made by Robert Kirkman that his own game company Skybound Skybound Games, I think. Yeah, he is going to be releasing it, releasing the third and fourth episode of the final season through Skybound. So there is a silver lining here behind all this chaos. If you do not know the name of Robert Kirkman, he is the guy who made The Walking Dead, the original comic. He's the one who, you know, who create the original comic book, and he's the one overseeing the massively popular television series, EIMC, The Walking Dead. So having him coming in to save the carcass of The Walking Dead, the final season, is actually quite beautiful, actually. So I'm looking for, at least we can actually wrap up Clementine's final season. I just mentioned here in his Twitter through Skybound Games, he is so happy to announce that we've reached a deal with Telltale Games that will allow Skybound to continue The Walking Dead final season. Let's wrap up Clem's story rights. Yes, more details to come soon. Okay. Oh, it is only going to be 4. I think it's going to be, usually they are just like the second season, I believe it's 5. The third also 5, I think. So this one will be an episode shorter. It's going to be only 4 episodes for the 4th season. Well, if it's going to properly finish this storyline for Clementine, I'm all for it. I'm glad at least we can actually play it to its through the finish line. Oh, the fans that have been, I was worried about those who paid for the whole, you know, for the season pass, right? So at least they'll get their money worth, because they paid already before knowing of the, you know, the closing of the theater games. So at least I'm so happy that I can actually pay farewell to Clementine properly. Okay, there's another game. Okay, the last topic for game here. If you look through that link, there is a finalist for the, you know, the USA's 2018 National Toy Hall of Fame. So Nerdist actually list down the finalists and they try to rank them. Okay, these most of them are actually just, you know, typical American games that they do not find their way to my country, Malaysia. But like I mentioned before, like Uno actually made their way here. So at least I get to play that one. Okay, from their list, you can see that number 12 is the Tudor Electric Football. And from the 70s ago, it's a long time. A vibrating piece of metal. It looks really solid. Right? Number 12, okay. Number 11, Tic-Tac-Toe. Okay, this one has been passed down, right, from generation to generation. We know what is it. When you made that boxes, you know how to play it. I play with my nieces, my nephews, and you know, when they came to visit, just pass the time to play with them. If you know how to, the children are still child, right, so they do not know. You should take the middle part as fast as you can, Someone just take it. Sometimes they just look past it, right? It's really fun. Really simple game. Okay, number 10 is chalk. Not sure whether chalk is a game or not. Even in the article they mentioned, is it a toy? Chalk? Sure, man. But chalk be used in classroom. But where the children buy them to play, to, you know, draw in the sidewalk or not, I'm not sure. Is it a toy though? Not sure if it's going to make into the Hall of Fame. Okay, this number 9, Fisher Price Corn Popper. It looks quite unique. Really simple mechanic there. When you roll it, then it's going to make it move all the balls there in that dome move. And number 8, Tickle Me Elmo. I've heard of it. I've heard of the buzz, right? How popular it is. I've seen one gif of people are waiting in front of the mall of the place, and they open it. They just like my sister just drove over people, trying to grab Elmo, trying to buy it. Yeah, the holiday season was insane. Mentioned that people were going nuts. It's gotta be. But this is just a not a popular, you know, as like I mentioned in the article. The Toy Hall of Fame should be about sustained excellence, not honoring a brief media, a brief mania. It is a brief, right? It's quite hectic, but just for a brief period of time, not for a long time, 4 years or not. No. And here, number 6, type for Masters of the Universe and American Girl dolls. You can see that. It's there for certain demographic, one for the male, one for the female. So not one going over one or over another. You can see that. Okay, number 5, Magic Egg Ball. Yeah, I've seen it being used in media, in television, in movies. Ask me later. Yes, no. Yeah, just interactive. There's nothing really, you can just elaborate. It's a random answer generator. But it's quite fun, right? If you know what are you playing with, just for passing time. Okay, number 4. Chutes and Ladder. Well, it is actually, it is a toy. But nowadays, like being installed in the, you know, in the playground right away by the government already. Is it? But it looks like here in the article, it is in a box. Not sure. Is it actually really? Did they sell them in the box before? It must be a big box then. Okay, number 3, pinball. I haven't seen one in person for me. I haven't seen it in the, you know, the pinball, the elongated one single unit like this. I've seen it, a variation of it in an arcade in the mall, but never like this, the original, the elongated one. Yeah, but pinball has been staying in our pop culture zeitgeist for so long now. I can see that it's being number 3. Number 2, Uno, of course. It is a simple game. It's really, if you know, it's a simple, they have simple instruction, simple rules, simple game to pass the time. For me, right, and when I want to play Uno, there's always some hesitation because when I bring it to the school to play, when you know, when we after finish the exam, want to play, always have some other students and teachers say, is it a judi? No, it is a game to pass the time because using cards, right? They always have use that the game. They always say, they always have, you know, with the hearts, everything, the clover. You always use that card, that kind of card games to play, to gamble with each other, you know, play games with money. But this one, Uno, is really simple, just playing with your mind, trying to, you know, get rid of your cards as soon as possible. You know, having that draw four, it's really, it is really another layer there for the game. It's really fun if you play it with someone that actually enjoy the game as much as you are. Okay, number one is slap. Okay, for a country with a lot of, you know, snow, for the, you know, for the last, for the, yeah, during Christmas, of course, it is going to be really vital in their childhood, right? You can see that being number one there, number sled. Number one for sled. Okay, we finish with toys. Okay, for the last two points, last two section is television and movie. Already touched on movie before, but this one is just for movie. Yeah, two trailers for American Gods Season 2 and Aquaman, a 5-minute preview. Okay, I just want to mention because American Gods, I really enjoy what Brian Fuller and Michael Green has done for the first film, for the first season. It is like a film for me, to me, because they really brought to life Neil Gaiman's epic fantasy novel, American Gods. How they create the imagery, everything, really beautiful. And it is unfortunate that, Brian Fuller, the original showrunner, and Michael Green cannot continue on with the second season, and they pass the torch to Jesse Alexander. But even there's a report on by Collider that new showrunner has been sidelined supposedly before the final episode that was set to be shot. Yes, really, I'm not sure why are there so many controversies behind this series after the departures, you know, after Brian Fuller and Michael Green left the, you know, the main core cast member in Gillian Anderson and Kristen Chenoweth also left, so I'm not sure who are they going to be replaced by. Or are they going to move on to another god or something? Not sure yet, but seeing this teaser being released by Stars, I can say that it's like there's nothing wrong at all. Just like a business as usual. Have the same imagery, so have all the same characters. No, of course without, you know, media. By Gillian Anderson and Easter by Kristen Chenoweth. See then, you know, there are a new sound of the new gods as well. So, not sure who are there, but it's a war is coming. So between the old gods and the new gods. So, I'm not sure about the final product, but I want to see how this. What is going to be being brought to life by this new showrunner, by this new get put that's a new team. I'm still looking forward to it despite my despite me being sour of them, you know, releasing Bayern Fuller. But still, yeah, that teaser is actually softening it up for me a bit. I will watch it, I will always watch it, but that's giving me some positive buzz at least. Okay, for the final thing, I'll saving the best for last, if you can say that. Okay, it is a bit interesting for a big studio to release such a long trailer. Yeah, you cannot say that it's a trailer, it's a preview, a 5-minute preview of Aquaman. Okay, it is the only DC movie for this year. It's going to be, in the December, so they release a 5-minute preview. No, because there are still some, you know, hesitation after seeing the first trailer of the effects of the portrayal of the characters. So they want to actually try to make some of the fans, reserve their reservation. They want to snuff that down a bit, so they release a 5-minute preview. With the 5-minute trailer, we see Aquaman and Mera go to Sahara Desert, and we can see the dynamic between them during that scene, and also when Manta, Black Manta, is it Black Manta? Yeah, am I correct? I'm correct, right? The name, I'm not sure yet. Manta Ray, Black Manta. Yes. Yes, Black Manta, yes. Even we seen almost all of the scene of them being chased by Black Manta and the Atlantean warriors. You see the one shot of them running through, you know, to the, where is that taking place? I've seen it before, I'm not sure where is it. Please, what someone tell me. And then we see, okay, we see them going to the desert, putting in that device, okay, learning of their place by learning the message from King Atlan. Okay, seeing the world, seeing how the, what is that, the trident, right? Yeah, the trident being made. And then how the seven seas, the kingdom, were trying to fight each other with the half brother of, who is it? Yeah, the half brother Om, played by, I cannot remember the name, the guy from the Conjuring. Sorry, I'm forgetting his name. Because of him wants to get the throne, right? And okay, even the mother as well, the mother of Aquaman also fighting here. You can see in the trailer, man, the visuals, man, we've seen so many things here in the 5 minutes trailer. I'm sure that some of the detractors are being, you know, being brought to the good side, seeing how beautiful the world is being portrayed here. I believe all the special effects are really well done here. You can't see any faults at all. And of course, that last shot of Aquaman in the original suit, in the black, I mean no, sorry, in the gold and green battle suit there, the trident, that shot will be. I've seen it in the some user posted it alongside when Superman walked through with the cape flying behind him, and the Wonder Woman going through the battlefield. You know, when she's walking through the battlefield, even being shot, right? That scene, and after that, this one scene of Aquaman walking through the water with a trident in his iconic suit. When you list them one by one after like that, it looks really just like in the same universe. You can see it. Even there's another one of Shazam. Yeah, when the Billy Batson changed into Shazam, you can actually list that in that same category as well. When they were just walking, you know, the warrior walk there, the hero walk. I'm really pumped. I'm always have high hopes for James Wan to actually deliver on this promise, and now seeing after that trailer, I'm always optimistic. I'm still pumped, and then after this 5 minutes, I know that he can pull it off. I'm sure that many of them, or those who critic the trailers before, I think they're being persuaded to actually watch this. Because in the 1 minute and 30 seconds trailer, you cannot see much, right? You always see like some of the highlights. Yeah, but in the 5 minute preview, you can see so much more. So I'm sure they will watch it and they will like it. Because to me, James Wan never make any mediocre films. Even some people said that The Conjuring 2 couldn't live up to the first Conjuring, but I believe it still have its own charms, right? I have hopes in James Wan. So even though he won't actually return for The Conjuring, because there's news of The Conjuring 3 is being made with a new director. I'm not sure. I can't remember who is the director, the new director. But yeah, I'm looking forward to see Aquaman that alongside Mary Poppins returns. Because yeah, I'm so looking forward to both of them. Okay, we're done. We finished for this week. That is my podcast. So I thank you for your patronage. I apologize for the cat. I have no idea what to do with it, man. Keep on meowing. I gave it food, everything, but still nothing. Still making that sound. So sometimes I have to pause, let it meowing for a while. But I have to keep on pausing just now. So. Yeah, then okay, you can find me in my blog if you go through the link I posted. You can just go to my link alllifeinfaith.blogspot.com. You can find me in other social media. I'm not actually that active in Twitter, in Instagram, Facebook. You can just say attack, you can just type all life with it, then you can find it. Okay, thank you for your patronage, thank you for your time. I know I have a lot of faults, but you can let me know, you can give me some constructive criticism or just criticism. I will accept it with open heart, and I will hope to be improving from one podcast to another. Okay, we'll catch you next time, and please keep on tuning in. Okay, thank you. 3, 2, 1. All life in faith. Okay, thank you. Assalamualaikum.